You are listening to a sermon by Laura Erickson, recorded on Sunday, January 3, 2021, at Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Several years ago, I made a Christmas card from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 that says, "Pay attention to a light shining in a dark place." I could have used that one again this year, but I did not. Pay attention to a light shining in a dark place. God's first words in creation are said to be, "Let there be light." Light because darkness was over the face of the deep. In John's prologue to his gospel, we meet light again, a light that has been from the beginning of time. Every morning these days in Evan's meditations, we hear how creator of the stars of night, your people's everlasting light. I pause at those words every morning. Everlasting light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In him was life, and that light was the life of humankind. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The message translates, "The life light that blazed out of the darkness is the darkness in the darkness that couldn't put it out." How do these words ring in our ears as we look back on 2020 and move into a new year? How do we reconcile this grand theology of John 1 with the reality of our pressing questions of our lives and of our world? The darkness couldn't put out the light. Ours is not the only period of time when an unexpected darkness and threat of death has descended. The last prophet of the Old Testament, Malachi, writes these God words. "Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty." Darkness describes many realities, both the physical dark and the bigger dark of separation from God. We know physical darkness when we stand under a night sky. These 10 to 12 hours of dark in our day is a God-created gift, a time to sleep, hopefully, and be refreshed. Our garden soil knows physical darkness, covering the wonder of growing, buried seeds, bulbs, the tangling of far-reaching roots. Darkness can be beautiful. But the darkness that Jesus came to break into is a different kind of darkness. It is the bigger darkness of despair that we read of in Luke 23 when at midday, the whole earth became physically dark. As Jesus prays, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And it is at Jesus dying that the separating curtain of the temple is split right down the middle. This darkness, which Jesus breaks, is the opposite of goodness, the opposite of light life. The biblical narrative is so full of invitations to come to the light, and so much, too, of humans turning away from it. In this Advent and Christmas season, we have entered again into this mega narrative, climaxing with the great light mysteriously coming into our broken world. Emmanuel, God with us. Even though we have not been able to meet and sing together, we have heard together and read pondered anew of the magnitude and meaning of these truths and texts. So how do we transition from feast days to ordinary times? Ordinary time asks, how do we live with this incarnation story into our real daily lives? With its challenges, big questions, endless unknowns, sometimes brutal disappointments, deep griefs. About 30 years ago, I met the very poignant writing of Barry Lopez, an American author and nature writer known for his humanitarian and environmental concerns. Lopez searches for meaning and purpose in a broken world, wrote a colleague. So I want to quote Barry Lopez. How is one to live a moral and compassionate existence when one finds darkness not only in one's culture, but within oneself? If there is a stage at which an individual life becomes truly adult, it must be when one grasps the irony in its unfolding and accepts responsibility for a life lived in the midst of such paradox. There are simply no answers to some of the great pressing questions. You continue to live them out, making your life a worthy expression of a leaning into the light. These words, making your life a worthy expression of a leaning into the light, are written for you on your worship sheet. I felt they were good words for the beginning of 2021. Which brings us back to Matthew 2, John 1, Isaiah 60. At the cusp of a new year, we are invited again to join the wise astronomers and pursue the star of light. We are invited to hear John the Baptist's words again. Listen, pay attention, draw close to the life light that blazed out of the darkness. With the prophets of old, we are beckoned once more. Arise, shine, for the true light has come. Not just for us personally, but for nations. In reality, what does this look like? Act like, shine like, pray like? If we look at our lectionary text of John 1, we see mainly two characteristics of this Christ light, grace and truth. The glory of the Son who came from the Father is full of grace and truth. Generous inside and out, true from start to finish is how the message translates this. If our lives lean into light, into grace and truth, how will they shine? Well, in endless, creative, committed ways. But for this first Sunday of 2021, let's be reminded of these two ways. First, the outshining of truth. Truth speaks to character, to being a person of your word, letting yes be yes and no, no. What is truth? Asks Martin Smith in his book, A Season for the Spirit. And he points to the Greek word for truth, aletheia. It literally means unhiddenness, unclothedness, unconcealedness. When Jesus says, I am the truth, the way, and the life, he leads us into the disclosure of God. Martin Smith describes it this way. Jesus came to actualize the hospitality of God. Truth happens to us when the coverings of illusion are stripped away and what is real emerges into the open. Jesus prays for truth for his disciples. His prayer is recorded in John 17, 17. And he prays, make them holy, consecrated with the truth. Your word is a consecrating truth. I wonder, is Jesus still praying, interceding for us with this prayer? I hope so. We need divine help to be people of truth. Being people of character and truth will lead us to stand on the side of justice, peace, integrity. I am setting a plumb line among my people, writes Amos. I think to be a people of truth means to be people who dare to try and live by God's plumb line. Building with uneven rocks in Amos's day would especially need a plumb line. So, what does God's plumb line mean for our understanding of truth today, 2021? Secondly, to lean into the light means we will be people of grace. Jesus is described as full of grace, full of generosity, inside and out, is how Eugene Peterson puts it. Grace comes in so many ways, in so many manifestations. Were we to collate the examples of grace in our collective stories, I do believe many, many volumes would be written. This week, Sven said to me, grace has the energy of creation. The two examples I want to share speak to this creative energy. So I want to look at grace as beauty, and I want to look as grace to grace as compassion. First, grace as unexpected beauty. It was Christmas Eve, 2020. The last service for David and Ruth Whittacombe, after serving as parish priests and music director at St. Margaret's Anglican Church in Winnipeg. They are a much loved couple, a brilliant team, helping to build a strong worshiping and outreaching community. For almost 30 years, they would welcome a packed church on Christmas Eve. The energy was always high as parish people and guests poured into the old oak pews. But not this year, not in 2020, where most of the year had seen empty pews, and starkly so on Christmas Eve. It was very difficult to say goodbye to the congregation at the beginning of the service, to a church of empty pews. I couldn't collect myself, writes Ruth. And so the service recording ended, and after goodbyes with the other participants of the service, they drove home into the dark and cold of a snowy Winnipeg Christmas Eve. What they did not know was that they would drive home along a procession of lanterns from church to home, lanterns held by masked, beloved parishioners, shivering in the cold, bidding them farewell, God bless, and such heartfelt thank yous, coming from a very long love of being a light on a hill together. Light came to David and Ruth as unexpected beauty, a grace in the dark. My second example is of light shone with the grace of compassion. One of the highlights of my life, truly, has been to teach at a center called Villa Rosa, a place of grace. It was founded by the Grey Nuns who were sent from Montreal to the Wild West of Winnipeg to rescue women in crisis. This is over 100 years ago, but 120 years ago. And they were sent to rescue pregnant single women sent from their homes in shame into the streets. This place of refuge was built over the years on the compassion found in the texts of Isaiah 42:4 and Matthew 12:20. A bruised reed you will not break, and a smoldering wick you will not snuff out. This text was framed and hung on the walls of the residence. It was not only painted beautifully, but it was practiced beautifully. Through the guidance and the deep spiritual gritty wisdom of nuns, social workers, teachers, mentors, volunteers, so many volunteers. When thinking about examples of leaning into the light, this picture kept coming into my mind. It was truly a place of grace, and it changed me. This picture was both a picture of how we can bring the light of compassion to others, but how the true light of the world ministers grace to us when we are the smoldering wick or the bent reed. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns darkness into light. These verses from Psalm 18:28 are familiar to me through many years. In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present, wrote Francis Bacon almost 400 years ago. In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Into a deep darkness, Jesus came as light, even though the darkness did not understand or welcome him. When reading the words of John 1, I often think of these words by Vincent van Gogh. One may have a blazing hearth in one's soul, and yet no one ever comes to sit by it. Passers-by see only a wisp of smoke from the chimney and continue on their way. End of quote. But to those who stopped, John says, to those who listened and turned, to those who believed, God welcomed into a children of God family. Walk with me, Jesus says. I am the light of the world. Follow me for the light of life. Walk with me to practice truth and grace, even into the pressing questions, longings, as we prayerfully make our lives a worthy expression of leaning into the light. May it be so.